Hi, my name is Daryl S., and I am a food addict in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm living surrendered in steps 1, 2, and 3, and I'm living recovered in steps 10, 11, and 12. And I want to thank Kathy T. for allowing me to be of service to your meeting. I'm very familiar with the the 100-pounder meeting that occurs. I attended this meeting, moderated it for many, many years, and I have many friends and in the meeting. I am now part of my home group in terms of my phone. Meetings are every day. I'm with the Vision for You meeting, and I find my recovery there and my fellowship there. And of course, I still have 100-pounder fellows and the original fellows that I started the program with back and when I was first introduced to OA on February 9th of 2010. And so I'll spend a little bit of time on what it was like and what it took to get to where I am today and what it's like now. I spend most of my time when I have the opportunity to speak in talking about the solution and what I mean by living a recovered life in 10, 11, and 12. And it took me a long time to figure that out. And I'll give you a little bit of that story tonight. So again, thank you so much. And for those that are on the phone, I appreciate everyone's service here today. And for those that are new into the program, I encourage you to stick around and spend some time to get to know this incredible journey that you've embarked on, and certainly don't leave until that magic that we talk about has occurred. So the miracle will happen. I met that magic, my very first OA meeting. I was at February 9th of 2010. I had just come down from 355 pounds to 335 pounds, thinking I was all of that, but yet knowing that, you know, I was about ready to fire Jenny Craig for the third time. And I had come to OA not aware of, knowing about, through another program, actually. So I knew of the 12 steps, but I didn't know that there was a program for my original addiction, which was come to find out was sugar and flour. And so when I first came into the rooms of OA, I found a home. I felt hope. I felt the magic. I got it. I thought that no sugar, no flour talk was a little crazy, and weighing and measuring my food was a little crazy. But I was desperate, and again, I felt the magic and the hope in the room. So that's where my journey started with OA. I was struck abstinent on February 15th after I met my original sponsor, and embarked upon, you know, working the tools in what was known as the OA 90 program. I, again, got struck abstinent on February 15th, 2010. That year, I released 145 pounds. I've maintained a healthy body weight ever since then. However, there were parts of the program, for the first 12 years going on, you know, now in year 14, I guess, somewhere around there. But in year 10 or so, there were parts of the program that I was unwilling to negotiate with. And then there were parts of the program that I was willing to negotiate with. And I wasn't living in a recovered state of food addiction. I was living in a healthy body weight, but I had begun to take some of my will back. And at that point, I called it a slippery slope, and today I know it as a relapse. I didn't gain all my weight back. I gained a portion of that weight back, but I was white-knuckling some behavior around food that certainly just wasn't sustainable, unless I wanted to you know, fully take my will back and then live in that body of that 355-pound man that originally walked into the room. So that slippery slope continued for a couple of years into the pandemic and then for a couple of years later, this time last year marked a 1 year mark of at the end of 2000 and what would have been 2022. I was sitting in my chair and I had been recovering from some major surgery in my back that had prohibited me from the movement that I had been used to. And so some of this food behavior was starting to catch up with me. And I was sitting in my chair one day and that 355-pound man got up and walked a couple steps away from me, turned around, shook his finger at me and said, "See, I told you, I got you." And that's about as close to a white light experience that Bill talks about in his story that I've had. My spiritual awakening was gradual. We're going to talk a little bit about that later in this share, but it was certainly something that shook me. And I called my sponsor at the time, who I'm still with, but had been with for, oh gosh, I would have to say a better part of 10 years, but 9 years at least I've worked with this man. And I called him and I told him that I hadn't been honest and here's what was going on. And I asked him his advice and he said that he understood and he was compassionate with me and supportive with me and said, I can only tell you that you need to come back in and start over as if you knew nothing. And so I was taught to set aside a prayer. I fortuitously logged on to the Vision for You meeting out of the blue. It was just intervention from my higher power, who I call my Lord and Savior. And I happened to get on that phone call. I heard somebody on the meeting that I had heard of before. I gave him a call, told him where I was at, and he gave me quite a talking to. It seemed like it went on for an eternity, but at least a couple of minutes when I told him, you know, what harm could a handful of nuts do? And he told me what that handful of nuts wanted from me. It wanted me dead. It wanted to rob me. It wanted to essentially kill me. And in so many words, it seemed like I said, an eternity, it made a profound effect on me. At the beginning of last year, I made a commitment to fortify my recovery, set aside everything that I had known. I made a commitment to the Vision for You meeting in the morning, and I got a new food plan. And I cut out all of my alcoholic foods and began anew. And I had then, over the next 4 or 5 months, released the 35 pounds or so that I had put on the previous 3 years of the 145 that I've lost. And I'm now back to that healthy, normal body weight. So there's kind of what it was like, what happened over the white knuckling period of my recovery. And now here where we are, some 14 years later. So let's talk a little bit about it. I introduced myself earlier as surrendered in steps 1, 2, and 3 and living recovered in steps 10, 11, and 12. Let me spend a little bit of time with that. First of all, I learned in the doctor's opinion on page XVI, the four absolutes. And the four absolutes are unselfishness, purity, love, and honesty. Those are the absolutes that we must hold dear in our recovery. And I knew I had to. And those were the four absolutes that I began to negotiate with that were leading me down this or into behavior that was leading me down a very destructive path. So on the doctor's opinion on page XVI, he writes, Silkworth writes, he was convinced of the need for moral inventory. Now he's talking about Bill on his third visit in 1934 in the town's hospital when and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in Bill's story, but the Dr. Silkworth says he was convinced of the need for moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of a belief in and dependence upon God. Those are where the four absolutes are derived from. And however, there are also four spiritual impediments, and these are important to know. And if you're new, I want you to, and you go, ever go back to the recording, or if you've got some notes, I know if I was new in the program and I had heard this early, I certainly would have written it down. But there are four spiritual impediments that keep us from getting to a recovered life by getting not allowing us to get to steps 10 and 11 and 12 where we can live in a recovered life. And those spiritual impediments are real simple. The first impediment is a resentment you will not let go of. That's step four, a resentment you will not let go of. The second impediment is a secret you will not tell, step five, right? And step three, a harmful thrill you will not stop, step six and seven. A harmful thrill you will not stop, step six and seven. And the fourth impediment is a restitution you will not make. That's steps eight and nine. So these four impediments are steps four through nine. And unless those impediments are dealt with in a spiritual level, as a spiritual awakening or a spiritual fitness that you can read about on page 85, we are unable to get to steps 10, 11, and 12, where then we can live in a recovered state of living. I want to talk a little bit about some of the dichotomies in program before I talk a little bit about Bill's story and really where it all began for us and the convergence of the problem and the solution met that very fateful day. And I'll end my share with that when we get to it. But first, let's talk a little bit about the great dichotomies. First, food was not my problem. And for most of the people on this, whether it's hard to understand it not at first or not understand, is that food is not the problem. It was actually the solution to my problem, our problems. Food wasn't the problem. It was the solution to the problem. Okay. And the other great dichotomy in this program is this is not just a way of life. It's a way of a solution. The steps lead us to the solution, which is a God-based faith that a higher power can restore us to sanity. It is a selfish program, and it's the support of others that helps ourselves, and God uses us in a fellowship to serve them, right? We go out and do his work. It doesn't matter who or what your higher power is, as long as you find one and let that power grow. So, you know, these are important to understand as we grow in our recovery. The great myth of our program is that while we have put the alcoholic foods down, that abstinence is not all we need to be recovered. Yes, it's important to put the foods down. There's no doubt about it. An alcoholic cannot get sober and cannot get recovered if he's still drinking. A food addict cannot get recovered, cannot get sober of the food until he understands the twist of the mind and the allergy, until he puts the food down. So abstinence is not being recovered. It's just a part of it. So these are important dichotomies and important myths that we need to debunk and to fully understand. And then this allows us to move through the program. It certainly did for me. And now what?
5 minutes.
Thank you. Just perfect. Great. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go to the that great convergence when Bill had learned the solution through Evie, and on that fateful morning when Evie from the Oxford group who brought to him in a 12-step movement the solution, which was that there needed to be a revolutionary and drastic promise. And Evie had promised that when these things were done, that common sense would thus become uncommon sense, that it would never were you to pray for yourself except for to request that it bore usefulness to others, and to maintain a fit spiritual condition. And so when Evie had promised these, Bill had found that there were things that he needed to be done, and that he would enter into a new relationship with his creator. And of course, everybody knows, if you know anything about Bill or studied his history and how this program all came, that he was agnostic, and that there were elements in living which answered all of his problems. Well, he didn't know that, but he was learning it, and he was learning what the solution was, right? And Silkworth knew the problem. He knew that the problem was of an allergy and a mental twist, a condition of the obsession that when the substance was ingested, it would create an allergy. But Bill was now learning the solution, that a belief in a power of God, enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. That's on page 13, paragraph 5. So in page 14, paragraph 1, it goes on to say, Bill writes, simple but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of light who presides over all of us. So we could be grateful for that. And now we go to December 15th in the town's hospital. Bill has now been sober for about 3 days. This is his third visit. Silkworth is the doctor at town's hospital who worked with the alcoholics at that time. And up until this time in history, there was no solution. Alcoholics either died, they were institutionalized, or they lived in a sanitarium until they died, or they continued to drink until they in a alcoholic wet mind until their death. That was the only solution, because alcoholics didn't understand what the problem was, and they certainly didn't understand the solution. But here we're finding on page 14, paragraph 2, that these were revolutionary and drastic proposals. He goes on to write that the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. This was a sense of victory followed by such a sense of peace and serenity that he had never known. There was utter confidence. Here's a man that's 3 days sober, his third visit at Towns Hospital, who was hopelessly an alcoholic, had lost everything, and all of a sudden he writes, I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. God comes to most men gradually, but Evie's impact on me, he says, was sudden and profound. This is step 12. This is God's will in action. This all happened on December 15th of December 15th, 1934. And now it goes on in page 14, paragraph 3 and 4, says, for a moment I was alarmed, and I called my friend. And he's speaking about Dr. Silkworth, okay? So he says, he called my friend, the doctor, to ask if I was still sane. He thought he was he thought he was insane. He thought he was in delirium of some sort, that he would be having this white light, father of light in the room, in this spiritual experience. Thank you very much. And so he finally shook his head and he said, something has happened. I don't understand you, but you had better hang on. Anything is better than the way you were. That's where it all happened, friends. Stick with your program. If you're new to the program, welcome. You have found a home here. Trust in your family. Trust in your friends. And you too can have what Bill found on December 14th in the Towns Hospital in 1934. God bless everybody. I'm Daryl S. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm surrendered in steps 1, 2, and 3. And I'm living recovered in steps 10, 11, 12. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service.